When Winchester races first took their beginning, it is said the good people forgot their old saint, not applying at all for the leave of Saint Swithin, and that William of Wickham's approval was faint. The races, however, were fixed and determined. The company came and the weather was charming. The lords and the ladies were satined and ermined, and nobody saw any future alarming. But when the old saint was informed of these doings, he made but one spring from his shrine to the roof of the palace which now lies so sadly in ruins, and then he addressed them, all standing aloof. O subjects rebellious, O venter depraved,
when once we are buried, you think we are gone, but behold me immortal.
These words are from the final poem Jane Austen wrote, or, to be more precise, the final poem Jane spoke, which her sister Cassandra likely transcribed. Except, to be even more precise, they're almost Jane's words. The subsequent line of the poem reads, "By vice you're enslaved, you have sinned and must suffer, then father, he said." And by following the pattern of the rhyme, it's pretty clear that "you think we are gone" was in fact
you think we are dead.
But in the years after Jane's death, and even in many records now, that's not what was documented. So, somewhere along the line, an edit was made. A lot of what we know about the Austens and their lives at home comes from the letters Jane sent to Cassandra.
"My dear Cassandra, I have so many little matters to tell you of that I cannot wait any longer before I begin to put them down. My dear Cassandra, our journey yesterday went off exceedingly well. Nothing occurred to alarm or delay us. My dear Cassandra, this morning has been spent in doubt and deliberation. My dear Cassandra, I have received your letter, and with most melancholy anxiety was it expected. My dear Cassandra, this is exactly the weather we could wish for. My dear Cassandra, I am much obliged to you for writing to me again.
My dear Cassandra, I have a magnificent project."
But those that remain are only a fraction of their correspondence. After Jane's death, Cassandra burnt the bulk of those letters, probably the ones with the most personal or salacious details, leaving only a slim volume to tell their story. Think about how painful that must have been for her. In a time before we were all digitally immortalised, those letters must have been all the more valuable. I wonder if she returned to them in quiet, solitary moments to briefly revive the memory of her Jane.
"I tell you all the good I can, as I know how much you will enjoy it.
To celebrate.
What weather and what news. We have enough to do to admire them both.
To gossip.
Poor woman. How can she honestly be breeding again?
To simply indulge in all the
important nothings
of everyday life and bask in the
infinities of love.
What might it have been to close that door forever?
To be burned.
To sacrifice those
portions cut out.
Tuesday, 29th of July, 1817. Chawton. "My dearest Fanny, I have just read your letter for the third time, and thank you most sincerely for every kind expression to myself, and, still more warmly, for your praises of her who, I believe, was better known to you than to any human being besides myself. Nothing of the sort could have been more gratifying to me than the manner in which you write of her. And if the dear angel is conscious of what passes here, and is not above all earthly feelings..."
There's a particular moment of the day, just as the sun is setting, when the light streams through the window and gives the corridor ahead of you a beautiful glow. When the building is empty, the house still feels alive with everyone who lived here before and after Jane, but even on a busy day. You might have noticed it already, if there's other people here during your visit. A sense of quiet study, then the thunderous clatter of someone trying, in vain, to discreetly edge from room to room without disturbing the creaky ghosts of the floorboards. Before the Austens lived here, the house was a farm and then a pub. After them, it was divided into three dwellings for estate workers and used as a working men's club. It's seen so much. There's a bricked up archway under the building, and no one's quite sure where it might have led. Look straight ahead. There are bends in the floorboards here and all throughout the house, where beams, walls, and even staircases would have been.
Portions cut out.
When we look for those details, those inconsistencies, we start to find them everywhere. And somehow it's then that the place really starts to breathe, that we come to
the heart and beauty of your story.
There's an anthology of hidden lives in this house. We step over the threshold into its history, and the air is thicker. You speak, and the house speaks back. Sometimes it sings. I did a lot of reading when I started my residency here. Too much, probably. Somehow I felt that I came to know Jane and Cassandra better simply by spending time in the house. We've probably now read everything from the pen of Jane Austen that we ever will. But what right do we have to their correspondence? To those private moments? And, to be honest, don't we all love a bit of a mystery, anyway?
The work is rather too light and bright and sparkling. It wants shade. It wants to be stretched out here and there with a long chapter. Of sense, if it could be had. If not, solid, specious nonsense. When once we are buried, you think we are gone. But behold me, immortal. Yours ever, J.A.